That was a special request of Amy and Emily's. The choir did a beautiful job with it this morning. I want to especially welcome the Trumbull Meacham families and friends this morning. We're so glad to have received Hollis among us and dedicated his life to the service of love. You all may or may not remember that Reese's dedication was the Sunday after Election Day in November 2016. I was so happy to have something joyful to celebrate that day as well. It has been an interesting 2.5 years. Interesting being a word that catches multiple sides of the same coin, of course. You know, like, how interesting that she wore that dress to this meeting. Do we like the dress? Or how interesting that he marches to the beat of his own drummer. Do we wish he followed our advice more often? When we find ourselves wondering about the true meaning of things, we look for clues, right? And in conversation, we look for facial expression or tone of voice because we're curious. We are curious to know. We humans are always curious to know. It's in our DNA somehow. We want to discover things. We want to understand them, to know them. We yearn for awareness, for certainty, even in the face of the greatest mysteries. We ask questions in search of answers, which so often breed more questions. And so we know there is a tension implicit between asking and knowing. We may think we've arrived somewhere, and yet then there's more to understand. It is a tension that we hold very lightly in this particular faith, in our Unitarian Universalist faith, which is creed-free, to which we have welcomed young Reese and now his brother Hollis. In all honesty, it's what brought me here to begin with, to this tradition, and has kept me here all these years, this curiosity and ability to ask questions. I was so hungry, as I know many of you have been, for a place to be curious, to ask, to hold my wonder without having to name it right away. Ours is nothing if not a tradition, in the words of author Margaret Wheatley, that treasures curiosity more than certainty. It can be a very unsettling path, though, sometimes even an uncomfortable one. There's great solace in having arrived at a spiritual truth, and some anxiety provoked by having that truth challenged, which we do on a regular basis. But despite how we may feel or appear, we often identify with the Reverend Angus MacLean, who we heard earlier this morning, who suggests that we are not so much the one in the middle of the road, but instead the one in the middle of a journey. Our faith may not know the end all of life, but it has assurance of direction, he says. And I would add, it has the imperative to live its values explicitly. The kingdom of love, he reminds us, arrives in the act of love. The reign of justice in the act of justice, the era of freedom in the exercise of freedom. His premise, and ours, is that our curiosity must be grounded in our living, even as we are ever in search of answers. It's not surprising that we might greet a petulant child like the one we heard about this morning with curiosity, with the hope of encouraging his own ability to question, knowing that he is heard and that all his frustration and impatience has a place to be expressed. Reverend MacLean helps us frame our intention. I'm interested, he says, in a process through which the learner, and by the way, I would add we are all learners, directly experiences value and as a result is in a better position to learn and use words and concepts. I'm also interested, he says, in a process that makes assets rather than liabilities of the child's restless energy, his activism, his continuing curiosity, love of fun, tendency to dramatize life, and constructive impulses. May we not fool ourselves, friends. We are all that child every now and then, aren't we? The restless one, the one with consuming curiosity, with a love of fun, and a tendency to dramatize. Our tradition encourages a continued and sustaining curiosity, even as it asks that we both teach and learn through the experience of a values-based engagement. Look at a school situation, McLean suggests, in which children are guided in the study of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States and made to memorize poetry in praise of the American way of life, and at the same time are never permitted to question a teacher's statements or offer an opinion, and are denied even the simplest elements of self-government. What happens to the effort to teach democracy? In this land of intentional and sustaining curiosity woven through our progressive religious life, the constant why of our joys and sorrows, we are called to pursue our questions by living into the values we espouse so that our certainties, on the occasions we find them, are expressed in our knowing that love is the greatest thing in the world, that justice for all in the long run serves best. We owe our children, all of our children, this wisdom, experienced, not just spoken. We owe it to children of all ages, which means we listen and question and search, so that even as our curiosity keeps us constant and sustaining company, we live with this certainty. Who says, in the midst of this universal swish and swirl, we should care for each other? We do. We do. We do. May that guiding truth be held clear in our actions and in our practice, so that when Hollis is older and questions this faith, which is as it should be and bound to happen, and when he says, "Isn't that interesting?" and then asks who knows or cares about what he believes or how he chooses to live, he will hear a resounding response. We do. We do. We do. So may it be, friends, for all of us. Amen.